This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's impossible.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Full of hijinks.
And look, I'm not your friend, so I'm not your friend. I'm your enemy.
And educational.
You sound like you're a moron.
It's What I Learned on TikTok, starring Gordon Damer.
Yes, it is, people. It is that time. Although, I don't know that we have a hard time on it. Usually we do it at 5 o'clock, right? Or do we usually do it at 6? I'm not sure. But it is that time. What time is it? It's time for What I Learned this week on TikTok. How does it work? What is it, even, you might be asking? Well, very simple. I, as a 53-year-old man, spend way too much time on that TikTok app. But it's because I learn interesting but yet completely useless information. Can't use it anywhere else. So I use it here. How it works, very simple. Give Julian and Harvey a chance to shine. I'll give them four pieces of information, three of which are lies. But one piece of information I give them, it might sound ridiculous. It might seem that can't be true, but it is true. And it is something that I learned this week on TikTok. So Harvey, Julian, who will be batting leadoff in this edition?
I'll go first.
You will go first. All right. Are you excited about it?
Absolutely. Paying full attention.
All right. That's all I can ask. Well, no, I ask that you pay full attention and you don't cheat. That's the only things I ask in this segment.
I can give you one, but not the other.
Oh, no. Don't be looking things up. Computers down, phones down. Just listen to the sound of my voice. All right, Harvey. Number one. In the movie The Matrix, the character Neo has a passport. His passport expires on September 11th, 2001. Number two, Inhotep, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Inhotep is credited with creating the first pyramid in Egypt, and he did it because he really hated his wife's nagging. Number three, if you were to visit the site of the Titanic, it would not be unusual to find Lego pieces nearby after 5 million Lego pieces were lost at sea during what was called the Great Lego Spill back in February of 1997. Or number four, there are five times as many Panda Express restaurants than there are actual pandas in the world.
Long-winded.
Sorry, I have to get all the facts out when I can. I try to shorten. I like the nice short ones, but you have to go with what you got.
Yeah, I can tell you searched far and wide for these facts.
Yep, so. Absolutely.
I'm going to go with the Panda Express.
Okay. Number four. Lock it in. No, that is incorrect. There are more Panda Expresses than actual pandas, but not five times as many.
I knew it.
The Panda Express, I think there's 2,000 locations worldwide. There's about 1,900 pandas in the world. And they're also, this is a little bonus fact, all pandas are owned by China. They just rent them out, I think, or loan them to people.
You a fan of Panda Express or no?
I don't think I've ever had Panda Express. That's it's Chinese food, right?
You know what? I'm not even going to answer this. You're a 52-year-old man. Get out there in the world and go have some.
Why would I go to a Chinese chain restaurant? They're not sponsors, right? Why would I go to a chain right when I can go to like the local mom and pop, which makes it amazing?
What do you got to lose?
It's not nearby. It's very inconvenient.
Lazy. All right, you know what? Give me the Hotep one.
Inhotep,
yes.
Let's get his name right. Inhotep, credited with the first pyramid, and he made it because he really hated his wife's nagging. No, that's also incorrect. I just made that up. He did make the first. He is credited with making the pyramid. But it had nothing to do with his wife or her nagging, so far as we know. All right, so now you're down to two.
I swear to goodness. Give me the Matrix one.
You're going to go with the Matrix one? I'm just recapping for the audience. The two that are left in the movie The Matrix, the character Neo, his passport expired on September 11, 2001. Or the other one that's left is if you were to visit the site of the Titanic, it would not be unusual to find Lego pieces after the Great Lego Spill of February of 97, which dumped 5 million Lego pieces into the sea. So are you still going to go with the Matrix?
Yes.
Lock it in. Yes, that's actually correct. Isn't that wild? Out of all the days to pick in a movie that's about real... Oh, man, that's a weird turn. I had to check that several times to make sure it was correct. But yeah, if you go back and watch the movie The Matrix, Neo's character, Keanu Reeves, to you and I, his passport expired on September 11, 2001. That is weird. All right, you're next up, Julian. You ready to go, my friend?
Yep, let's go.
All right, so just to fill the audience in that's just tuning in for this first time, Julian has been on a heater. He has been red hot here lately. So we have to see if we can take care of that here. All right, number one, Julian. New York City Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia was responsible for the creation of the G-string underwear. The G-string? Just G-string underwear, sorry. Number two, even though he died over 3,000 years ago, King Tut, Tutankhamun to you and I, has to travel with a passport. Number three, Florida State University, known for its partying, also has its own nuclear reactor on campus. Or number four, when Da Vinci painted The Last Supper, part of his focus was imagining the apostles deciding who would pay for the bill. So again, to recap, former New York City Mayor LaGuardia responsible for the creation of G-string underwear. Number two, Tutankhamun, King Tut. He has to travel with a passport. Number three, Florida State has its own nuclear reactor on campus. Or Da Vinci, when painting The Last Supper, was thinking the apostles, they got to pay the bill.
So I'm going to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and 50-50 it.
Okay. So it's always a good strategy.
Looking at... Two and three.
Two and three are the ones you're crossing off, or the ones you're...
No, those are the ones I'm looking at.
Okay, all right.
And out of those two, I'm more feel like the answer is a three.
So that was Florida State.
Yeah, with the nuclear reactor.
Okay, lock it in. Well, I'm happy to say Julian got it wrong. He's really been hammering me. No, Florida State does not have its own nuclear reactor. Florida University does. There are some universities that actually have nuclear reactors on campus, which a little surprising, but no, not Florida State.
Should have known once it was Florida State.
Yeah, tried to lure you in there. All right, so you're down to you still have Tutankhamun, which you were separated there, and then you have the two that you crossed off.
Yeah, so let's go with Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun.
Passport.
Nah, he's dead. He doesn't need a passport. He's good.
God, you're wrong.
Yeah, no, he does not need a passport. So now you're down to the two that I love. See, that's why I love when people cross two off, because there's a high rate generally of one of those two is the correct one. And in case you're wondering, just to recap, the two that are left, former New York City Mayor LaGuardia, responsible for the creation of G-string underwear, or Da Vinci, when painting The Last Supper, his focus was imagining what 12 guys would be looking like trying to decide who's going to pay the bill.
I'm not in my usual seat. That's why I'm talking this up.
That's all it takes.
So out of
I think it's Harvey rubbing off on you.
It could be.
Could be.
Out of those two left, I'm leaning more towards Da Vinci.
Okay.
Right, so I'll lock that one in.
Lock it in. When Da Vinci painted The Last Supper, part of his focus was imagining the apostles deciding who was going to pay the bill? No, that's incorrect. No,
it's wrong.
I made that one up. No, Mayor LaGuardia, when he was mayor, they had like all nude clubs, and something about the World Fair, he didn't want the seediness of the nude clubs, so he put out a thing where they had to wear some kind of covering on their bottom, and that led to, I don't know who the designer was, but that led to the creation of G-string underwear. So if you like G-strings, make sure you thank Mayor LaGuardia. I don't think he's with us anymore, but there you go.
Do you think he's more impressed to have an airport named after him or that?
I don't know. I think more people have cursed the airport than have cursed the G-string, right? I think if you had to take a vote, what do you like more, LaGuardia Airport or G-string underwear? I think it would be a landslide. All right, so we got one more left. This time we flip it. We make it three true things and one lie. So now you're trying to spot the lie, as if Harvey needs to make it any more difficult. All right, guys, are you ready? You can team up on this one.
Do it.
All right. Number one, most people involved in the Hindenburg disaster lived. Number two, Sylvester Stallone still has the two turtles, Cuff and Link, who were featured in the first Rocky movie. Number three, Thomas Edison's last breath is contained in a test tube at the Henry Ford Museum. Or number four, in early versions of the script Back to the Future, it is revealed that Marty McFly and Doc Brown became friends because Doc Brown was bootlegging porn and Marty was selling it to high schoolers.
And this is the round with
this is the
fact?
One where you want to spot the lie.
No, I'm saying like the biggest fact like ever or
no, that was the one of the Neo and the Matrix and the 9/11. I thought wild. I had to check that several times to make sure that was correct. I don't want to be spreading any misinformation on this show.
No, I'm gonna go with the breath.
The last breath. Thomas Edison's last breath is contained in a test tube at the Henry Ford Museum. Okay, you're locked in. Julian, are you going with Harvey or are you gonna do the right thing?
I'm gonna go with Doc Brown.
Doc Brown, okay.
Yeah.
You don't think Doc Brown was bootlegging porn in any version of the Back to the Future script? Well, I'll tell you, you're both wrong. No, those are both true facts.
It's wrong.
Thomas Edison's last breath is contained in a test tube at the Henry Ford Museum. And yes, early, it always is kind of puzzling about Back to the Future. They never really kind of answer the question of how did Marty McFly and Doc Brown become friends at an early version of the script. And I think even in the movie, you see a section of his like workshop where it's like all VCRs. Maybe I'm just imagining that. But yes, in an early version of the script, basically Doc Brown was bootlegging porn and Marty was selling it, which probably was a good thing to leave out of this final. Leave that one out of the final script. Might have had a different take of the movie overall. All right, so now you're down to two. Number one, most people in the Hindenburg disaster lived. Or number two, Sly Stallone still has his turtles from Rocky.
I'm going with the turtles. Give me the turtles.
Okay, you'll take the turtles. Julian, are you going to stick with Harvey or are you going to go in your own?
I'm going to stick with Harvey on
all
this
right.
one.
Yep. And yes, you are correct. No, I believe the turtles, as of 2021, the turtles were still alive,
good
but he
me.
Does not. Yeah, he does not own them. He's got bigger things going on that he's going to be taking care of, Cuff and Link. So there you go, people. That is what I learned this week on TikTok. And now because of this segment, whether you wanted to or not, you have learned it too. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Coming up, we'll get back into the sports, including one thing that we're all kind of living through right now that is ridiculous, but does not get nearly enough attention. And I'll tell you what that is coming up. It's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Islanders hockey comes your way then? It is Islander hockey. Who are the Isles playing tonight?
They are playing the Nashville Predators.
All right, so Isles getting back into the playoff mix here. It would be nice to have another team, not just the Rangers being part of that playoff mix. Clearly, the Devils, they're long gone, right? They're long out of it. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, long gone. Yeah,
long
gone.
All right, just wanted to make sure. I mean, you're the guy to ask about the Devils at the station. You're the one big Devils guy.
Long gone.
Long gone, right?
Which is embarrassing, considering that Pittsburgh has gone on a run. They won today. They're essentially tied. They're in the second wild card, so they're in a playoff spot right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they going to be there's a hockey lottery, right?
Well, a draft lottery, yes.
Yeah, draft lottery. So there's going to be a lottery this year. Do they have their own pick this year?
Yes, but that's not what I was looking for.
Well, no, I understand. But if you're like I was saying before, you don't want to be in the middle. You want to either be really good or really bad. Because the best way to get really good is to be really bad. So if you're really bad, maybe you win the draft. Is there like a big superstar coming out this year in the draft lottery?
I mean, it's not as hyped as Connor Bedard last year, but
right,
sure.
That's what I was asking.
No, not at that
so
level.
So you'll win the lottery the wrong year.
Well, I don't even know if they're going to win the lottery. They might even.
I'm just saying,
top 10.
There's not really any hope. If by winning the lottery it doesn't help, well, then there's not really much I can do for you.
Well, I mean, everything that could have gone wrong this year went. It's like the Giants. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong.
Oh, they can't be that bad. The Giants. The Giants lost 40-0 in the first game of the season, and it really didn't get any better from there. They were abysmal this year. The Devils weren't that bad, were they?
I mean, they're under 500 at home.
Okay, under 500. All right. I think that was the problem for the Giants. The Giants would have been better off being, like, now that we can see where we're at, the Giants would have been better off losing even more games than they did. Wouldn't you feel better as a Giant fan if you were sitting with the third pick as opposed to the sixth pick?
No, because I still gotta hope and pray that the third pick, sixth pick, whichever pick works out.
Yes, but we can all agree the third pick is more valuable than the sixth pick. And at least you get something more valuable out of the season.
Sure, but I mean, you still got teams that are like itching and crawling, like the Vikings might trade up.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears.
Oh, no,
might,
there's going to be a team
trade
that trades up ahead of you, yeah.
For sure.
Well, just hopefully you're not like Joe Shane's done a better job than even Joe Douglas did. Like, it was clear last year that the Jets wanted to take that offensive lineman. So every team that wanted an offensive lineman, or that when the last guy was there, that they knew they had to trade up ahead of the Jets, and so be it, they did.
My biggest plus is that we have Brian Daboll, who got 3 wins out of Tommy DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
So the QB whisperer can essentially...
You think?
I think so.
It doesn't seem like he's a whisperer when anything comes. It seems like he's like the quarterback screamer.
He does have a way of talking to quarterbacks, yes.
I think he has a way of talking to everybody. Defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators. No, nobody likes. Maybe he needs to incorporate more whispering into the equation.
Yeah, that'd be something to follow.
All right. Well, there you go. There's the Devil's Report. There's no sponsor. We just did a little Devil's Report there. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. Now, the Mets right now, they've moved to the bottom of the eighth over at, where are they? In Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
And they lead 5-4. So maybe getting on the road, getting away is the right thing. And maybe people this week won't, like, let's say the Mets reverse what they did this past week, right? So they're 2-5 now. Let's say they go 4-2 this week. Hopefully we won't start getting carried away with talk of playoffs and World Series. And we could just maybe keep things in some perspective. I get it. We're in a very reactionary time, and sports talk radio.
Nobody in the ballpark.
Yeah.
1-5, hitless through 7. Feels like rock bottom.
Everybody's got to have a code. One of my big things that I believe in as far as a man code is never say it can't get worse. Things can always get worse. And really, speaking about being reactionary, that's thinking 0-5 can't get any worse than 0-5. This is as bad as it could ever be. Nah, trust me, it can always get worse, especially certain organizations. The Mets at times, the Jets at times, back in the day, not that long ago, even the Knicks at times. But I would just say, clearly the Mets are going to hang on to this one, get another win, move to 3-5 on the season, and they'll feel a whole lot better. Now, if you want to really be concerned about anything, I think it's too early to be concerned about anything. Like, it's too early to have your opinion changed on any one aspect of the team. I would say, if you want to go down that rabbit hole and just be panicked for any and every reason, the fact that Lindor has looked this bad, if you want to draw up the worst case scenario for the Mets, it's that they're bad this year and they're whatever rebuild they're going through, it's going to be a more substantial rebuild than it even feels right now. Like, right now, it feels like, okay, after this year, they'll have some pieces in place, and then they'll go supplement that in free agency. Steve Cohen will open up the wallet and go to town. But if you have a season where you're only, winning 65, 70 games, then the rebuild might be more substantial than just one season. Then you're saying maybe the young pieces that we're even trying to move into the mix, the Beatty's of the world or the Alvarez's of the world, even they're not cashing in. Well, then it's going to be more. Lindor, he's going to be here regardless. He signed for, I think it's 8 more seasons. Nimmo is 7 more seasons. Lindor is 8 more seasons. So I think that at some point, Francisco Lindor is going to look like Francisco. One bad week is not enough. But if you want to just spiral out of control into an emotional panic for whatever reason, I would think that that would be a reason to do so, thinking that the two guys who were signed longest term here, all of a sudden they've forgotten how to hit. I don't think that that's going to be the case, but again, I try to provide the audience what they're looking for. And it feels like a certain portion of the Met fan base, they like being Met fans because it just gives them a reason to go worst case scenario with every single solitary thing that happens. Like they love to be complaining about, oh, it's the worst. It's the worst being a Met fan. It's horrible being a Met fan. Nobody knows what it's like to be a Met fan. So if you want to go down that road and just have negativity upon negativity upon negativity, I would say the fact that the two biggest issues offensively, and the offense has been the problem for the Mets in the early going, and just as I say that, the Reds have tied it up. That's disappointing. But if you want to go down that road, the main culprits have been the two guys who are signed to the longest contracts on the team. And you would also, if you want to just further a conversation, if it turns out that those two guys have these unbelievably bad seasons, do you think that increases the odds or decreases the odds of the Mets adding another large contract to a guy who's on the team already? Like, to me, the most interesting part of the Mets long term is what happens to Pete Alonso. To me, it seems like the signs are, the writing is on the wall that they're not going to re-sign him. Now, who knows? Maybe Steve Cohen steps in at the last minute and says, no, I want him. But it does not seem like the type of player that David Stearns, given his history, is going to sign long term. But if it turns out that Nimmo and Lindor signed to 8 years and 7 years respectively, if they both have bad seasons this year and seem to be aging in a way that doesn't look great for the long term of the organization, do you think that increases or decreases the odds that they're going to add another monster contract? I don't think it would. I don't think they would increase. That's for sure. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. 1-800-919-3776. Speaking of baseball, speaking of embarrassments in Major League Baseball, there have been a lot of things, even this early on in the year, that are embarrassments in Major League Baseball. The situation with the Oakland A's and their owner, right? Don't need to get into it all now. Embarrassment. The situation with the Major League Baseball uniforms, an embarrassment. Every guy looks like that they're sweating, like they're on trial for their life. I mean, what kind of uniforms are these? Didn't they have any? What material is that that makes you look like you're just sweating buckets at every turn? Who would think that, you know what we want in a uniform? Something that makes it look like you just drowned. That's a really good look for you. Hey, and while we're at it, why don't we make the names on the back of the jerseys super small so it looks like something that you got out of off a website in the middle of the night? You got it from Shein. You got it from somewhere overseas for a huge discount. We want all the uniforms to look like that. Who's making these decisions? So there's like a lot of different parts of baseball that when you're a baseball fan, you just have to put up with these terrible, terrible decisions. And as I say that, the Reds have just taken a 8-5 lead on the Mets. I'm sure the Mets are going to come back. They got another inning. There's one part of baseball, we've all kind of gotten used to it, and it happens every single year, and it's just getting worse. It's amazing that we live in a time where there is someone involved in baseball who is so bad at their job that's why you know them. You know them because they are the worst version of the job that they hold. Angel Hernandez has been a running joke in Major League Baseball for years. I don't even remember the first time I heard Angel Hernandez's name. It's got to be at least 5-6 years now. And every time you hear his name, you know why you're going to hear his name. And it's not because, hey, Angel Hernandez did a really good job. You would think in a job where it's your judgment, sometimes you'd get it right. By accident, you would eventually get one right. There's never a time where he gets them right. Anytime that there is a judgment call involving Angel Hernandez, you know who's going to be right. It's whoever's on the other side of Angel Hernandez. I'm starting to wonder if Angel Hernandez came up with the baseball jerseys. He had a call the other day in the Mets-Tigers game where the batter Torkelson kind of the pitch was inside, and it was a question of whether or not the pitch hit the batter or whether the pitch hit the bat, and it was a foul ball. Out comes Angel Hernandez. His decisions are not even in the realm of possibility of the things that you think that you're debating. He comes out and says, not only did the ball not hit the bat, not only did the ball not hit the batter swung the bat. It's crystal clear to anyone, no one outside of Angel Hernandez thought that the batter swung the bat. But yet here is someone who is, I realize because of the union that the umpires have that you can't do. It's mind-boggling to me that a billion-dollar organization can't figure out a way to minimize the impact on a regular basis of someone who is this bad at his job. And again, there are good umpires, there are bad umpires. There are umpires that you know, this guy's not going to do a good job. And those are the guys, generally, you know their names because you hear their names all the time. When it comes to bad umpires, Angel Hernandez is Babe Ruth. He is Barry Bonds in his Balco prime. This guy cannot get anything right. And yet, it's incredible. Major League Baseball can't seem to do it. If they hired Enrico Palazzo to work behind the plate, even someone, it's almost like Angel Hernandez at this point is actively trying to destroy baseball from being inside baseball. It's that he is going to have calls that are so ridiculous. He is so aggrieved by whatever that he is actively working against Major League Baseball at his own expense. It's like he's a mole. It's like he's an active mole working to destroy the organization that he works for. And it's consistent. It's 100% of the time. Death, taxes, and Angel Hernandez being wrong. And it's incredible that we live in a... It would be one thing if this was like a one-year thing. Oh, this guy's so bad at his job. Oh, I can't wait till the year's over. No, year in, year out, every chance you see of a controversial... Oh, Angel Hernandez is involved. Run to your sports book and put $1,000 down on whatever's the opposite of Angel Hernandez. He is the UCLA team with Lou Alcindor running through. It's amazing. You would think just by happenstance, one of these times he'd get it right. It never happens. Never happens. And it directly impacts the integrity of the game. It's amazing that it is allowed to go on. I realize that there's not anything Major League Baseball. I wonder how hard Major League Baseball is trying to do something about it. Because it's an absolute embarrassment. Even for a sport that regularly has to deal with embarrassments. This one is front and center. And it's about the core aspect of it. It's not about the stupid uniforms. It's not about some owner out in Oakland who's destroying his own organization for his own personal benefit. This is about the integrity of the actual game. And every few days, this is a guy who's calling, who's the central figure in Major League Baseball games at the highest level. And it's as if he is actively trying to destroy the organization that he works for. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's squeeze in Nick in West Islip. Nick, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing? Love the show. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I see so many videos on either Twitter or YouTube of his horrible calls. And what makes it even better is when every announcer is in agreement with the fans. And they are just flabbergasted to see the calls that he makes. I don't know why MLB doesn't do something about it. You know, they did something last year after the Bryce Harper call. They put him up in the booth so he could watch the video reviews. And, you know, I don't know if that's 100% better than him being on the field, but it's crazy to see what he does day in and day out. He's constantly wrong.
It's amazing. I would bet you, Nick, and thanks for the phone call, I would bet you that if you went – I would almost rather have Tim Donaghy refereeing a game. At least then – I would bet you he, even when he had gambling interests in the games that he was impacting, even he probably got a higher percentage of the calls right than Angel Hernandez. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Here you have this billion dollar, and again, There are good officials in all sports. There are bad officials in all sports. There's no one in any sport who is more consistently bad at their job than Angel Hernandez. And yet, this is not a one-year thing, a two-year thing, a five-year thing. It's been year in and year out. If there's ever a call, a controversial call, and you know Angel Hernandez is involved, you know not only is he wrong, it's almost like he's out to be wrong. Like he's getting some perverse benefit out of being wrong every single time. And I always wonder, like when you have a situation at a baseball game, because those happen every single day, and you have an argument between, say, the home plate ump and a manager. And I always say, like, the players on balls and strikes are generally, they're right more than wrong. They have such a great batting eye. They're generally, they know what they're talking about. So you get somebody thrown out. I always wonder, like, do the next day, does the umpire come up to say, hey, you know, I screwed that up? Or does the player go to the umpire and say, hey, did you see that you got that wrong? With Angel Hernandez, like, what do you even do? Like, we were talking about the announcers when they had the play the other day in the Mets and the Tigers game. The announcers didn't even get upset because as soon as they said it was Angel Hernandez, it was just an exasperation. And I get it. It is exasperating. But it's also worth pointing out every single time that this guy is just this bad. Again, in terms of bad umpires or bad officials in any sport, he is the Lou Alcindor. He's the GOAT. We're doing the GOAT on ESPN New York tonight. Of worst umpires, there is no contest. You could not have a contest. Angel Hernandez is by far the worst of all time. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. Coming up, we'll kind of recap some stuff, get you ready for Islanders hockey at the top of the hour. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Things have taken a turn for the Mets. And in case you're wondering, it's not a good turn. They gave up five in the eighth inning. The bullpen, I guess, is a little short, so they tried to get a second inning out of Ramirez, and that did not go well. So instead of having a 5-4 lead, which they had before that eighth inning, they gave up five runs and now trail 9-5. Now, the good news is that ninth inning, Mets have top of the order coming up. Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso. So that would be the time. This might be the time. They're due. They're due to get rolling here. And I got to be honest with you. I'm glad. Why is the Yankee game a night game? Why are they doing that? Was there something going on at the stadium today that they had to squeeze a couple more nickels out of the stadium so they'll play the game at night as opposed to the afternoon? That's kind of strange. And I'm kind of hoping, personally, that the basketball games are not good, which I expect them not to be good tonight. Right now, Purdue's up by 8 on NC State, so not a blowout by any means, but it's still only the first half. And then you got, of course, UConn and Alabama tonight. I don't expect that one to be close. I'm kind of hoping they're both blowouts because Larry wanted me to watch that movie. It's called On the Line with Mel Gibson. I think it's on Netflix. It's on one of the streaming services. So I promised him, I gave him my word that by Monday night show, I will have seen On the Line. So tonight would be a good night. And also selfishly, I saw a TikTok that somebody was saying that it was really like crazy how it, I don't know what the story's about, but how the story comes together is kind of a wild thing. So not just Larry's recommendation, but I feel like I owe it to Larry. I gave him my word. So I feel like I have to, and it would help if both, I can't, if the games are good, I'm going to stick with the games. I have to lie to my friends. I don't want to do that. But hopefully UConn just keeps rolling. I think they will. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go to Richard. Richard's in Manhattan, in case you didn't know. Richard, what's going on, my friend?
Gordon, it's 45 degrees out. How would you sit outside in a baseball game tonight?
I don't know. And it's not like I've always suggested, like, we don't need to turn the clocks back. We need to turn the months back. We need, like, this is really like March weather. This is not April weather.
I don't know what they're thinking. Well, this is crazy. You know, today, they're showing kids at the Yankee game that didn't go to school, and they're interviewing kids, 11-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Gordon, I never missed a day in my life of school. Never.
Oh, no. There's nothing that's important. You can miss a day of school.
I don't agree.
This life experience, going to a baseball game with your dad.
Wait, let me interrupt you. Yeah. What's wrong with Sunday?
Well, Sunday, then everybody goes on Sunday. You can get a little better deal during the week. You take the kid.
But then you're missing a day of school.
Like, how old are the kids? Like, fourth grade? Nothing major's happening in fourth grade.
Oh, no, Gordon, you grew up different than I did, boy. I never missed a day of school. I never missed a day of
work. I was always looking for a way out.
All right. I don't see, especially when you can go the next day. They can go tonight.
Right. You can go to school the next day.
Thousands of days of school. Both days they're going to get sick, whether they're out in the cold. But still, that still doesn't excuse it. As far as the basketball goes, Valvano won it last in 83, North Carolina State.
Right, sure.
And I remembered it clearly. Valvano found a system. What he did was, they weren't a great team. Here's how he beat the system. In those days, you fouled a guy late in the game or, you know, even in the middle of the second half, and it was one-on-one. In other words, you didn't get an automatic two shots. He'd foul the worst foul shooters. They'd miss the front end of a one-on-one, one-on-one, which means you got to hit the first to get the second shot. But if you miss the first, that's it.
Right.
You rebound, the other team gets the ball. So he found that, and after that, the NCAA changed the rule. Now, what's interesting, Valvano won it. And I'll tell you something you wouldn't know. I bet you nobody in New York City knows this except me. The game was won by a kid, Lorenzo Charles.
Yeah.
Wittenberg took the shot in air ball. Now, Lorenzo Charles unfortunately passed away a few years ago. He went to my high school, Brooklyn Technical High School, graduated 10 years later. Now, his mother and father sent him to Brooklyn Tech, not to play basketball. It's one of the specialized high schools in New York City, and at that time it was very, very difficult to get in. Yes, you still have to take an exam to get in. So this kid didn't go to that school to play basketball. So he's got a distinction of being the only athlete in New York City ever to get into a specialized high school and hit the game-winning basket of an NCAA tournament game. So that would that'll never happen again, and I'm sure it's never happened before, Gordon. As far as the hockey goes, as long as the Rangers get a good, as long as they keep playing well and don't get any injuries, you know this is a crapshoot. No matter how good they look now, none of this matters. None of this stuff matters.
Hockey is the biggest crapshoot of them all.
As long as they don't have injuries and get in a good position for the Stanley Cup, we don't know what's going to happen. And as far as the Knicks go, you can't blame Thibodeau on any of this. These are injuries. And you know what's ironic? Randall got hurt almost 39 years to the day, a guy with the same number that he got hurt, Bernard King. Same thing, non-contact injury. He never played another game for the Knicks. Patino didn't want him. He rehabbed. And all. I just hope that doesn't Bernard King rehabbed. He would not. He didn't want him back on the Knicks when he was right. Because Hubie Brown coached the first year of Patrick Ewing, and he made him a forward, I think, and Cartwright was the center. But Ewing got used to shooting outside shots. That's why he was never the same player in the pros as he was in college. But anyway, Bernard King never played another game. So I just hope that doesn't happen to Randall, because I like him. I like the numbers he puts up. He plays hard. So, you know, that as far as that.
Well,
I think that
there's at least a potential that Randall does not play again for the Knicks.
Correct.
I just hope not. You don't know what the offseason holds. All right, Richard. There you go. I think he meant that Bernard didn't play another game. Didn't he play after the injury? I thought he played a little bit after the injury. And he did play in the NBA after that. But he just didn't play for the – didn't he play for the Nets, like, to wrap things up or something like that? I'll check. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. Coming up, it's The Leftovers. It's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN. A hungry Damer is never full.
At this stage of my life, eating is like 90% of my joy.
Where he answers the unanswerable.
Got to do something with my hands. I got to get busy.
No algorithm can defeat the GD.
Just take it right in the face. Right in the face. Don't worry about it.
These are Gordon Damer's leftovers.
All right, so we don't have too much time left. I will throw this out to both Harvey and Julian. This was a very big week in the Damer household on TikTok. My wife, who's on TikTok, I think it's Damer Teaches TV, she had a TikTok go viral. It was a, what's called a stitch. Someone makes a point, and then you respond to that point through video. So the original point was, what was something about TVs or movies that they get wrong in the movies or TV and no one ever talks about, but it drives you crazy? So my wife's was that Tony and Carmela Soprano would never have named their daughter Meadow. And it blew up. It's got 500,000 views, thousands of comments, thousands of likes. But that's not why I bring it up here. I bring it up here because it got like a second life when it was written about on NJ.com, like the newspaper. What is that, the Star Ledger? I don't know who it is.
Yep, something like that, yep.
Star Ledger, right? And they wrote, maybe it came across as being sour grapes, but this is what we're doing now in the news? There's not enough going on in the news. We're reviewing TikTok videos that go viral to highlight things that are Do you find that weird?
I don't know if that's a shot at your wife, but...
No, not at all. It's a shot at NJ.com.
Sure.
There's nothing else going on in the world. You're writing about TikToks? That's not exactly Watergate.
The fact of the matter is this. You had to one-up her somehow.
I didn't want to. I think that she's amazing and incredible. I'm happy for all the success she has. I still have one that went more viral, but that's not neither here nor there.
You got to appear on the 6 o'clock news or something. 11 o'clock news.
Eventually, I will probably appear on this. It's probably not for the good reasons, but I will at some point. But don't you think that's weird that the newspaper is writing about TikToks now? And it wasn't like a TikTok of, hey, I discovered something in my backyard and it's art. It's about Tony and Carmela Soprano and their daughter being named Meadow.
She broke the news to you? Like she told you, hey, the
answer. Yeah, she's on top of everything. Trust me. She found it. Yes, absolutely.
And you were like, really? Are we serious? You thought it was like a prank or something?
I said, I'm very happy for you. I said, isn't that a little weird that they're writing about TikTok? There's nothing in this day and age, nothing else in the world that's going on? NJ.com? Like, hey, we want you to crack this story about this TikToker. Hey, this kid on Stitch just broke Super Mario's record. Make sure it's front page news. I don't know. I just thought that was strange. No? I guess not. All right. Yeah, you guys got anything quickly?
I'll be real quick. We're gonna see like our true feelings for Leon Rose in the offseason, whether with what he wants to do with Julius Randle, OG, and Jalen Brunson after everything that's happened this season.
Yeah, well, look, that's the thing about having that kind of job. It can be great, and it has been all great for Leon Rose so far. If he makes one misstep and it doesn't get to where we think it's going right now, it will all be forgotten very quick. He's made a ton of good moves, but the biggest move is still to come, and that's the one he'll still be judged on. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. Thanks to Julian. Thanks to Harvey, too. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening. Islander hockey is coming up next, and it's only right here on 98.7 FM, ESPN, New York. Ron is in Westchester. Ron, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Larry.
I'm Gordon.
This is the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.